Rockstar Podcast, episode 31. Lorenzo, Mariano, and Tony discuss social media and different programs we can use to post for clients or for ourselves, organic posts versus prepared posts, the web design scam, and the Asian photography scam. Also, did Mariano get any training bra advertisements from last week's episode? Stay tuned. Thanks for listening. Here it is. Hello, welcome to Rockstar Podcast, episode 031. Facebook Live, all kinds of other
Facebook
stuff.
Facebook Live. How big is that audience, though?
I don't know.
I can't see it from here.
It's a lot smaller now that they can see us.
This is true. This is true. Mariano is figuring out Gmail.
And Lorenzo, if you move over literally, like, I don't know, 6 inches, you can actually be on camera, too. I don't know why you insist on barely being on camera.
Because I feel like if I just do, like, a cameo, I'm more effective.
He feels more like he has a face for podcasting.
Oh, I see what you did there. That's a good one, what he did there. The guy with the hair that actually, I would not have my hair right now than his. Yes. Okay.
What's up?
So I'd say, what, about 2 weeks ago, Tony said that we should be able to start to get a little bit more structured.
A little more structured.
And I tried to take the initiative.
Although we're completely not structured.
Well, Well, one third of us might be a little bit more than the other.
Okay. Well, we count on you to lead anyway. It's fine.
Okay. I got to break this chain of events of leading. Just because I do the intro does not mean I am the lead. Okay. That said, I created a Google Doc and with topics.
Went to spam. Not mine.
No.
Mariano's spam.
I don't know what's
very
worse.
Very aggressive.
Tony got the list and didn't add anything.
No, he didn't.
Mariano did not get the email because apparently went to a spam folder from a Gmail account. So now, I'm looking at the topics of things that to think about for other stuff. Oh, wait, Mariano just wrote something. That's bullshit.
Well, I had time because you guys were figuring out the audio.
Okay, Mariano.
Actually, the video.
Mariano wrote social media post automation services.
Yes.
Take it away. Well, actually, how you doing, Mariano?
I'm amazing.
You didn't hear him before I recorded him?
No.
And he gave me a great response when I wasn't recording him. It's just generally how you do it. Okay. Why do you save that for the podcast?
Okay.
So now he's repeating it.
Got it.
Whereas Tony has no problems saying hello. Watch.
Well, you know, Tony is a professional, consummate professional in the wedding industry. So he's used to being in front of a crowd and recording. And
I think by this time you both should be as well. So I don't see what the problem is.
Okay, you done?
I'm done.
Tony, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks.
A little phone call stuff going on.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, always
work.
Business.
Yeah, okay.
Business.
Mariano left me a love letter on my desk.
Oh yeah.
Because I was a few minutes late.
Yeah.
They signed it, Momo.
We were concerned.
I did sign it, Momo.
Yes, he did sign it, Momo. Does your wife call you Momo?
No.
No?
My wife does not call me Momo.
Okay.
His wife doesn't call him at all.
No.
No.
Instagram check? Mariano?
I am still not on Instagram.
Okay.
I don't know why you expect things to change.
I'm hoping that one person that listens will go on Instagram and create MD Fabs and then...
Don't tell them to do that.
I think you do own it
because I follow you.
MD Fabs, but...
Yes. Oh, MD Fabs. Sorry, is that like Mariano versus...
What?
Well, I say MD Fabs.
Yeah.
And you said MD Fabs. Very eloquently. Okay, so Mariano posted something about social media post automation services. Please.
So, well, I mean, the only thing that I wanted to ask is, do you think that there's...
Don't look at the camera.
Looking at Mariano.
Well, you pointed to it.
I know, but it's like I'm off stage on Saturday Night Live. I can point to it. You can't. You can't read the lines. Go ahead. Right. Go ahead, De Niro.
So social media post automation services. I know this is something that we've discussed before, and this is a big topic, but I wanted to kind of circle back to it because it seems that it's becoming, there are a lot more social media posting services now than there were even when we first just started having our discussion. So there's Hootsuite is still around. There's one called Deliver, one
Buffer,
mm-hmm. a whole ton of them. But now there are a couple that I've been investigating recently that are even smarter, which are Meet Edgar and Sociable. I think is no. I can't remember what the other one is, but Smarter Cube. That's the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And
Meet Edgar is pretty expensive from what I remember, because I did trial it. I think it was pricey.
Like it was $49 a month.
Wow.
I think it was.
Yeah. So yeah, compared to other things.
Compared to other things.
And so, there's also, not Spring. Okay, I'll think.
There's a ton of them.
Yeah. Well, the most popular one, I'm saying.
The reason why these two recently are interesting, well, the reason why I even started looking into this is that a lot of my customer demographic has been interested in doing more social media, but they don't want to sit down and create posts.
Sprout Social was the one.
Sprout Social.
And that one's very expensive, but as detailed, really, really detailed. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
I feel like social media post automation services have gotten better. Because they do encourage engagement. But I wanted to know, you know, as I'm investigating this a little bit more for my client base, mm-hmm. I wanted to know what your experience was, if you've ever used any of these services, Buffer, any one of them. I mean, I specifically called out a couple, but if there's one that I didn't mention, talk about it.
Monday.com is another one, but that's not.
Is that Monday?
Yeah, Monday, but it's more scheduling than anything. But, I have a very thorough, deep education in this, so I will let Tony speak because I know because if he's doing it, he's doing it for himself. He's not doing it for other companies.
Right.
Yes, correct. So, and I struggled with that for a long time because I've always tried to stay as organic as possible, I guess,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
As real time as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, so full disclosure, I do use Buffer for the most part because it helps me plan schedule posts.
Are you on paid or free account? Or business?
Still free. Okay. Still free. Although I might actually change that. But okay. For now, the free one does okay. It limits you in the amount of mm-hmm. posts that you can schedule, etc. Those are helpful to me. So we're just looking for perspective. Is that what you guys are?
Yeah. What your experience
is. My perspective or my experience has been that it has helped me stay consistent, I suppose, is the biggest upside, because actually, like right now, my Buffer is empty, mm-hmm. so that means no posts went out today.
I know the feeling.
And sometimes that's actually good because it forces me to just come up with something, kind of organic. So, but when I do take the time to schedule posts for like the next couple of weeks, which I usually do, it's helpful because it allows me to be a little more strategic. Like for example, so. I'll talk about Instagram because Instagram tends to be the one I concentrate the most on.
Mm-hmm.
I swing back and forth between Drop House, the studio business, and my wedding, business, obviously, right? Which is SE and me personally, right? So I try to balance it out because I think that I do have a following that kind of appreciates both segments. A lot of them are DJs. DJs are logged into the Drop House stuff, but a lot of them are also wedding DJs.
Mm-hmm.
The wedding clients have no idea what I'm doing in the studio. Sometimes that's kind of fun.
They think it's cool.
Brand. Right, exactly. So I'm very aware of, you know, kind of swinging that pendulum back and forth. So it is helpful in that respect. Sometimes I specifically leave gaps in my schedule, so I don't schedule every day or for every day because I specifically leave days open. I'm crazy. I don't know if this works or not. So that I do force myself to post organically. So whether that's going to be another studio shot, the studio shots very often are like real time. The wedding stuff is like the group shots,
mm-hmm.
or it might be some like cool, you know, dance floor shots. That's not going to be real time, obviously,
right?
Because, you know, real time, I'm actually doing it. So
yes.
So
or a really long selfie stick.
Yes, which has been known to happen.
Yes.
So it does allow me to kind of balance things out, so to speak, and I think it's extremely helpful. I think it can be.
What is Buffer connected to for you?
So Buffer does. It is connected to. Well, Twitter I don't really use anymore, but it is was connected.
Okay.
It is connected to Facebook and Instagram. Though Facebook, I will not usually have it scheduled. Often, if I can take the time, I'll go to Facebook and try and do that. Although sometimes it is just easier to do both in one shot because it allows you to customize each one.
Mm-hmm.
So Instagram and Buffer. Or Instagram and Facebook. The Tony T Facebook page.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, Mariano, are you using anything or have you used anything?
No, I'm kind of more in an exploratory phase for a business problem that I'm trying to solve right now. So that's why I brought it up as a topic. Because
the client lazy and they don't want to post?
I don't think that the client is lazy necessarily. I think they want to be able to not worry about it because it's not part of their core business. Mm-hmm. So they want to be able to set something up so that if they don't get to, mm-hmm. you know, do their regular postings in a week, they know that something is taken care of.
Like, they still have to create the post, though.
Well, there's this concept of evergreen posts. So, like, you know, posts that you may have done a couple of months ago, but don't have an expiration date to them. Mm-hmm. There are some services that will allow you to
recycle them
in some way, and you just create a category for it. So these are my categories of evergreen posts.
Got it.
And pick one randomly to post on this day at this time. So you can actually set it up so that your social profile is partially automated, so that if you don't get to it in a particular week because you're really busy, you can use these tool services. There's a couple that actually also, and I can see that Buffer is integrated with Zapier. Zapier is an automation tool. You can actually set up Buffer so that it brings in new items from an RSS feed. So, mm-hmm.
I have seen that. Yeah.
So, like, if you have a blog and you're posting,
but you don't need Zapier anymore. Buffer
is set up.
They have it
fully integrated.
You don't even need Zapier anymore. You just literally type in the search mm-hmm. in Buffer the content. It is called content inbox. Mm-hmm. So I have a content inbox on my Buffer account. I could type in Drophouse and it'll search for a Drophouse feed mm-hmm. or the website. So mm-hmm. I have it's separated into topics from Medium, mm-hmm. which does the articles and stuff. Mm-hmm. And articles are big on LinkedIn, so I have my LinkedIn accounts with content inbox from Medium topics, design, culture, business, and then you can go through it. So I never connected Zapier to it, and so I didn't go through that route, but then they came up with content inbox, I'd say maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago.
Out of curiosity, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm interested in this, does content inbox... if an RSS gets updated, mm-hmm. does it automatically bring in the new updates
or is that manual? Yeah, yeah. Okay. And once you put it in there and you share it within that social media, it removes it so you don't double down and repost and put it somewhere else.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know why I said by the way. I have the business account of it. I tried
Buffer.
Yeah. I've had it for about 7 months. I spend maybe like 2 hours once or 3 hours once every 2 months, mm-hmm. and I will load about 200 posts.
Yeah.
I'll mm-hmm. go through it. And the nice part about it is I write it out, I hashtag it, and I'll do all that stuff. And then when I add it to the queue, mm-hmm. it shows me all my accounts right there, and it tells me, for instance, Twitter has removed, you can't put links in anymore via third party. So it'll have an exclamation point next to that post, and I'll say exclamation point, we've removed the link for you. Instagram, you can't put links in the posts, right? Mm-hmm. So it'll tell me that it removed it, but I can do the hashtags and all that stuff. So I have it connected to our Rockstar Facebook page, what was Google Plus, which is now gone, Pinterest, Facebook business page for Screaming Lunatic, my Instagram, my LinkedIn personal, my LinkedIn business, and Twitter. So that's $15 a month. And I will do probably, like I said, about 150 posts. Mm-hmm.
Now,
and I'll spread it out. Queued. I have everything each scheduled according to. So I went through it, and I went to, like, LinkedIn. I'm going to do Sunday nights when people are miserable with their jobs. Right? You know, like that kind of stuff.
Right?
And then I layer it with whatever I do normally. So when I have clients, I tell them, usually I'll tell them, give me 30 photos or topics or whatever. I'll go into the account. I'll do those 30 as long as it's coupled with what they're doing, meaning overlaying their natural in the moment, whatever it may be.
Right. Mm-hmm.
For some companies, it's a little bit challenging because they don't have a lot to post. So
do you give them their own Buffer account? And their
You can add teams.
Okay.
I have not had the experience yet where a client wants to be bothered with it. Mm-hmm. They'd rather just give me the information mm-hmm. or depending on how much they're willing to pay, I'll go and collect the information.
Right.
But the content inbox is great. So if you have someone who is in the cybersecurity mm-hmm. world, you can pull content from cybersecurity websites and blogs and stuff like that. And you just have to be careful because, you know, like sometimes you might post something or you might it might pull.
Right.
You see it, and like the first one that I see here on my Facebook business page, it says variational auto encoders are not encoders from Hacker News.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't relate to my – I have Hacker News in there as a choice because they have design-related stuff. Another one that they have, a guy for SEO I follow, Neil Patel. It says the ultimate SEO tool Uber suggests 3.0, blah, blah, blah. I add that to my queue right from here. I see it right here. The problem is sometimes there's shit that like I might not agree with or yeah. – it just might be like link bait just to get them. So you have to be a little understanding. So that's why when I add the feeds or the websites, I don't just go to, you know, I try to be sensitive to what it is because you might end up with crappy leads or crappy links. But right now in just my Facebook business page, the content inbox, I have, you can follow a maximum of 15 websites feeds. Per account. So for LinkedIn, I follow one of the feeds is Medium Leadership. So any articles about leadership from Medium.com go into LinkedIn, but any links from Medium that deal with design go to my LinkedIn. Like, you got to think it through, right? Like, you can't.
No, well, it works on LinkedIn. Totally makes sense.
Right. So it's well, and it's only $15 a month. I mean, for that, all that I gave you, the fact it really is. Pretty
well, and the
and I've tested them all out, so that was my experience in the long run. But go ahead.
The other thing that I'm curious about is you can also manage your accounts in a Buffer account, right? Like you can just you don't have to go to Twitter to post something. It's almost like TweetDeck. You could you could go into Buffer and post something live.
You're concerning me that I have not explained it well. Yes.
I just wanted to make sure.
What you can't do is what you can't do in like a Sprout Social. Like Sprout Social, you literally will see every post from every social media platform, can comment, like everything right from there.
Okay.
So, but that, you know, ranges, I think they range somewhere between $79 and $150 a month. But if you have a company who is really active on social, you know, they pay a lot of money to have someone maintain it because it's cheaper than having a marketing person there.
Right, right.
But that you literally open – that's the thing where they have their own account to log in and they'll give you suggestions to what to post and they have to approve it. You can get real technical. So on the high end, that Sprout Social seems to be
where and to do go. You feel that do you like one service more than another or do you have a preference? I mean, we talked
I've,
about
I've
Buffer,
stayed with
Sprout Social, Edgar.
I've tried – I honestly have tried about probably about 15 of them and Buffer for what I need and my client needs, it really is the best bang for your butt. the best bang for your butt?
Ooh.
Oh. And people can, oh, okay.
Very appropriate.
Don't do that. that will be clipped.
Not here.
No. What? I totally got thrown off.
So anyway.
Buffer, best bang for your butt.
Yeah, I know, but the name is Buffer now. That has a totally different feature.
I definitely appreciate it. No.
On the higher end, yes, Sprout Social I think works the best. But for him and even for a Valiant, Buffer would be fantastic because the cost of entry is great. But what I really like is that I like the LinkedIn feature of it.
Yeah.
Instagram is fine, but it's kind of useless because unless you're going – I mean, I shouldn't say it's useless. It's great. I put 200 posts on Instagram over 2 months stretch. I just don't like that you can't put links in it, but it'll come to the point where you can.
That's Instagram anyway.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm just saying in Instagram as a whole. So that's why I feel like it – and plus we live more in Instagram, so it's easier for me to do that stuff. But just as a base to be able to do that for a client where I can – you know, like for you, right? You could put in – 50 photos from weddings and stretch it out over 3 months and overlay it with your regular
stuff. And I can
stuff.
Tag venues from
everything.
From
Buffer
now.
Right. You can. Yeah, it's also, cool. I also have it on Pinterest as well, which is great, and it attaches to the boards.
It does. Okay.
Because people, well, I shouldn't say people, but what I've come across is mostly guys do not want to be bothered with Pinterest for what the data shows it anyway, that it's like 20% guys. It'll attach, you can click on the boards, but, and as Tony said, you can, with Instagram, it says you can put in the location as
locations.
Well. And the hashtags, which is big. And it'll give you the stats on it. For it'll tell you, your analytics will tell you most liked, most commented on everything, and it'll ask if you want to rebuffer it.
Which I think those are definitely valuable because those can demonstrate engagement to especially your clients, mm-hmm. if you're able to show that kind of statistical data to them. Do you create a new buffer account for each client that you have, or do you have one buffer account where you manage everything?
Oh, you can do both.
Well, what do you do? That's what I'm...
I tend to create their own. Uh-huh. I don't mind logging in and logging out because I'm not in buffer religiously enough to do it. Just for technical reasons, just as one business, I'd rather create their own account. They get billed. They handle it for buffer. Mm-hmm.
And then you charge for your service.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. A lot.
Oh, you found the camera.
I peeked in every once in a while, but the first time I did it, it threw Mariano off. Plus, I think there's people talking, but the camera's too far away because...
We can't see that.
Yeah, so we'll get back to you. I think hi, Sean, and hi, Frankie. Those are the only two likes that I see so far. But anyway. Yes, so have you trialed Buffer or no?
I've used Buffer in the past, but a long time ago, before it was...
And you have a client that's looking for this service?
I have a client that's looking for something like some kind of automation.
Automation what platforms?
Probably mostly Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Okay.
And but the thing that I'm trying to figure out from a Velliant side is content, creating the content. So, because I think my approach is going to be...
Well, what industry is it roughly?
It's optometry. Optometry, okay. Possibly dentistry. There's a few different ones that I'm looking into. And the idea would be a way for us to generate some RSS feeds that people can opt into that are specific to the industry. So, and then if they want to add their own stuff, they can.
Are they B2B or B2C?
B2C. I mean, they would...
Yeah.
So there's...
It would be tough because the B2C part would be... Buffer would be great for being a resource. But to get, I follow my kid's dentist. And it's cool because every once in a while I see a pop-up of the kids running around or whatever like that. That type of stuff is important. So if they're not willing to do that kind of stuff, layered on.
I completely agree with you. And I'm not saying that this should be viewed and we will sell it as a supplement or as a starter kit.
With the hope that they will also do their own stuff.
And we have a separate service that actually allows, so to not to get into too much detail, but I want something that's a starter kit that people can opt into and say, okay, this is the way you can get started. If you have no time, this is something that will help you out.
Okay.
But we also recommend this secondary service where we're sending you boilerplate content to say, this is how you can engage with your customers.
Okay.
And that's a much more expensive service. And that is like real content that they need to engage with in order to kind of get it, disseminate it.
Okay.
There's a lot more taking photos of their patients. You know, my smile today is brought to me by blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I love my sunglasses, that kind of stuff. But I want the barrier of entry to be lower so they can recognize a benefit and then potentially upsell later on.
Tony, thoughts?
Makes sense. Oh, I'm taking it all in. It's got very technical, so so I let you guys take the reins on that.
But you're using Buffer. He's not.
I am using Buffer. Well, yeah, but you guys are way more.
You might be better with Sprout Social.
I don't know. There's a few that I'm looking at.
Dominic uses Sprout.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's from what I...
RSS feed, the RSS feed is the key piece.
Well, in Buffer, you can...
I know. I didn't know that about Buffer, and I want to find out about Sprout Social if they do it.
And that's really for regurgitating content, right? Isn't that essentially what that's for?
It gets the information for you. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yes.
It does that.
Right, which is cool, which is something I don't do, which is why that was like way, way beyond how
Let's say you're blogging.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Yes. And that's a great example.
This
yes.
would be a good, that would be a good vehicle for you to bring 100%. Stuff into your blog. So that 100%. Would, and that would in fact be one of the RSS feeds that we would probably go into is
right.
say, okay, we're going to set you up on your blog and here are other RSS feeds for which we're generating content that you can use to share to other categories mm-hmm. or to people that you might be that interested makes sense, in. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, you can get, I think there's a demonstrable business case for something like this as a, like I said, as a starter for people that don't have the time,
yeah.
but know they should be doing something.
Yeah.
And maybe even reporting saying, hey, people are starting to engage you with this stuff. You should at least log on to Twitter, Facebook, wherever.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
Respond to them.
That's a good
so
point.
So
yeah.
there's somebody watching out for them. That's kind of what I'm thinking with this.
That's cool.
So web design scams?
Yeah, what's that all about? Yeah.
Oh, thank you for asking. That's like when
really, what's that
when
all
Mariana
about?
Asked me about how my house hunting was doing. I got an email. And this has happened now two times. There's a bigger scam. Actually, let's do the more elaborate one. It's an Asian photography scam.
Okay.
So I listened to a wedding podcast off and on here and there the other day, back and forth listening to it. Apparently there was a story of a, and I'm going to get it somewhat wrong, but well, I shouldn't say, I don't know all the, yes, the gist of it is this, that a Ted Turner, I think it's Ted Turner, his wife supposedly sends you an email.
Okay.
I'm going to get the story wrong, so don't yell at me, but I'm going to get it right. Sends you an email saying that they need some sort of photography job in China okay. done for whatever, some like fashion show, big brand, whatever. What ends up happening is you actually talk to representatives on the phone because you get the email, they tell you to call, blah, blah, blah. You talk to people.
Okay.
You, and this happened to a couple. I don't know if it's happened to several couples.
Okay.
You talk to people. Then you start to get NDAs and all kinds of things. So there's no
that
reason to think
legit,
anything.
Right.
Then I think you at some point you do get a check of some sort for like $500 or $1,000. You have to then buy your ticket to China.
Mm-hmm.
So this couple bought their ticket to China. They go to China. The driver shows up. The driver picks them up. And halfway through, something happens where they're talking, and halfway through, your representative from this company that you're doing the photo shoot for calls you and says you've said something really offensive to the driver. They don't know what's going on. Supposedly, there's a lot of different fees that you have to pay, that the photographers have to pay for licensing in China. Not to say it's real, but I'm just saying that's the case. So you're there, you've paid X amount, taken in the car, and the guy tells you, he's not taking you to any of these places unless you pay all the fees up front.
Oh, shit. Mm.
So they paid the fees, all up front.
Yeah.
And then apparently the driver just leaves. And you're stuck in China with no point of contact at all, and you're out like 10 grand. And this happened.
Wow.
And it's on the Huffington Post. So the story is a lot more elaborate. I thought it would take longer.
Because
it didn't, I'll go into the web design
scam
now.
That's fascinating.
Yes.
And actually, there's, I just did a quick search on the web about this. There's a whole story about this.
Yes. Well, the story that I'm telling you is a very Cliff Notes summary of it.
Yeah.
And probably a little bit. Yes. No, Karen, it's not snowing by me. Look at the calendar. I'm doing a podcast live. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How many times? I put the calendar up there. She never looks at it. That's all right. It's fine. I totally just got thrown off completely. Okay.
Left me in China with nothing.
Yes. So the it's on, if you put in Asian photography scam, which keep your filters on.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
It's how an elaborate international scam is making the rounds. So Now Mariano's texting.
It's
almost like you should have put your do not disturb on.
Do you know how many things I have to do that, like, you would think the person that's sitting with me would not disturb me?
Well, the reason why I sent you the text is because I found a link to the scam, and I was
but don't you think
put it in the show notes?
But I already said I know that. Okay. So the web design scam, Tony. Let me tell you about that. This is
did
also,
you end up in China?
No, but this Thank has goodness. Also been approached to me twice.
Okay.
I get a Facebook message from someone who needs a website. They have a budget of $4,000 to $6,000.
Okay.
They have a partner who has all the copy and the images. Basically, they just need the website set up. Blah blah blah. The budget works for them, $4,000 to $6,000. Okay. This goes on for about 10 minutes in conversation. Then I get an email about a day later from some random person who is the partner, mm-hmm. who's telling me they have all the content and stuff like that. Okay. So send me an estimate. I don't do it, but mm-hmm. okay. So then I get a second email from this partner, maybe like a day later, that says we're working within trying to get our marketing budget for next year. Would you be kind enough to bill us $10,000, in which we will pay you, and then you reimburse us the difference? So we agree on a $5,000 website, right? Whatever it is, which it's more expensive. on a $5,000 website, I would send them the estimate. Yeah. They would pay me $7,000.
Yeah.
To justify their budget.
Got it.
And I'm talking to people, not on the phone, but via email.
Yeah.
And then I would reimburse them the difference of $2,000 after the year. So, and I'm not saying, I'm not putting you on the spot, but I'm saying where did I find, obviously it was already not going to happen, but what was the thought process that I had? Can you think of why I wouldn't even have considered it? And believe me, I didn't come to it right away, but I came to
it. If it felt too easy and too quick.
Well, that aside.
That's usually a flag for me.
Right. So that was there. And also, it was very odd for them to say that to me.
Yeah.
But apparently, I looked up and they have done this. Not they. This is different people. Okay. Hit okay. This is part of the podcast. Facebook Live just shit the bed. Okay.
You want to post it?
Yeah. So,
that's strange.
Yeah, maybe. And then
there's no limit.
No, sir. Maybe
we haven't.
Fails been a.
You got enough on Facebook Live. Yeah, don't worry, you're fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, they're fine. Although I did leave them at the fucking cliff. that was not intended.
But what happened?
Yeah, what happened? So what ends up happening is, or what I think would end up happening is, I get the 5,000.
Yeah.
They, I get the 7,000. I give them back 2,000, and then they cancel their $7,000.
credit thing to me.
That's what I figure happens. Yep. Because the guy has continuously harassed me on Facebook Messenger.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And then about 3 days ago, I saw that all the messages deleted because he was removed from Facebook.
Yeah, of course.
So, but that's a little bit more elaborate.
Yeah, and it requires patience.
Well, that's
but this happened over
China
a couple
one
of days.
Was way, way more.
That's amazing, yes.
That should be a movie or something. But
And not to mention the I think the thing that makes me very suspicious is when somebody says to me, and, you know, not necessarily someone that you would know or be able to mm-hmm. look up, bill me X amount of dollars, which is more than the project is worth.
That's the second flag. That's anything like that smells like fish is probably fishy.
The rich guy, Murdoch.
Rupert
it's Murdoch. Actually his wife. It's not Turner.
Not Turner.
Wendy Murdoch.
Yes, yeah, Wendy Murdoch. So, yeah, so you get an email that says, hello, blank and blank. I have your details from my good friend in China who passed on the list of potential photographers when I inquired for an upcoming travel and lifestyle photo exhibit I'm putting together as a kickoff series of events kicking off the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing.
Mm-hmm.
Your portfolio was relatable, unique, and potentially kind voice, blah, blah, blah. Your friend Wendy Murdoch.
It's
so
pretty,
then you call
well
a
written.
Rep. So that part, like, you can believe, but when you start talking to people,
yeah, that's crazy how elaborate that is.
Right, this is why the kids are smart to text.
Yeah.
Because you get to, you justify it by talking to them.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I mean, there's a non-disclosure agreement.
That's really elaborate.
Private and confidential contracts. There's pictures. Here's the driver over here, the picture of the driver.
Holy shit.
When we got to the hotel, I snapped a photo of the driver and his license plate to be sure. And then there's more to the story, but
Fascinating.
Yeah, I'll try
it up, guys. Look it up.
I'll try and link it in any of the stuff, but yeah. So the website thing was clear. Okay. Clearly, they've stepped up their game from the Nigerian princes.
Yeah.
Right.
I got an email. I got one of those emails last week. I hadn't seen one in years.
It was from the Nigerian.
It was in my junk box. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
That's great.
Are you wealthy?
The money, the money's coming.
Okay.
I'm very excited.
Buy us a place to record. Google Plus is gone.
Yeah, so I was officially gone?
I think it's still up there now. It might be, but I say that because Buffer said that no more points shut down. They are shutting down. I'm sure there's always a reason, but I think what it is now when you go into Google's, the search and stuff, your business page where you have your listing, you can answer questions and you can also create a web page.
On Google, you mean?
Yeah, they let you can create it. So you can create a website through Google now.
Oh, I think I've seen that option. Yeah,
I think they're trying to compete with Facebook in the sense of having a landing page. It's not going to work, though, because you can't see pictures of people eating chips and stuff. but yes, they are shutting down. Mariano, thoughts?
I don't think any of us were using it.
The Google Plus,
I was using it through Buffer only because of the SEO, but I guess it didn't really do much.
I'm a little disappointed that they're down, but I don't know that it was doing much for Google.
No.
There weren't a lot of people that were on it. They just never gained the kind of traction that was necessary for it to be a justifiable platform.
Yeah.
And they weren't able to kind of knock down Facebook. You know, and I think the problem that they were going to face anyway is that, for people that don't trust Facebook because of all of the issues that they're having now, they were just going to go from one big company to another big company.
Mm-hmm.
And, that may not have, people are vested in Facebook already.
I was going to say, that's the big thing.
They were first to the market, which is a huge thing. You have to be able to give some kind of distinguishing piece that make people have a peace of mind about it. And, Google, to their credit at the beginning, were big on privacy. They talked a lot about it. Your stuff that you post here is private. We have, they tried to make that a differentiator between them and Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I think if they had tried to launch now, as opposed to when they did, it was 4 years ago, where those were concerns back then, but they were not as big. They were not as in your face as they are now.
Yeah.
It might have been a different story. And I think that I'm sad only because there's no competition to Facebook. Mm-hmm. I don't really consider things
there's
like Twitter.
Real life. We still have that.
I know, I still
Which have is that. Why we get together and talk for an hour.
This is but why we're an evergreen podcast.
We are truly an evergreen podcast. So I'm sad to see them go because I think they were a platform that was competitive to Facebook.
Not if nobody was on it.
But you're not on Google Plus and you're on Facebook. You shouldn't be sad. Don't be nostalgic.
I was on Google
Plus. Don't be nostalgic. They're sitting on billions of dollars. I don't give a fuck about you.
They're fine.
Oh, no.
Remember that Google Glasses thing? Remember that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean,
they're gonna be fine.
Stuff like that sets a tone for the future.
Although I heard Google's, their automated cars are pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Remember when I said Facebook would be dead in 2 years? Google is going to be dead in 2 years. But, it's a different platform now. Just from doing all the SEO and PPC, and I like using those words, PPC and AdWords and stuff, the organic search is in trouble.
Yeah.
And it's at the point now where I confidently tell you, if you want to be on Facebook as a business, you don't even need a business page. Unless you're in certain services, you just need to advertise on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You don't even need a business page.
How do you... advertise even without a page?
Well, you can have a page, but
you don't have to post on it.
No, like if you're
I don't think
if you're a business.
I want to contextualize that statement. Organic search is
I don't know
in
what
trouble.
That means
It's not in trouble because people don't use it or people don't rely on it. It's in trouble because Google is putting it in trouble. Google is putting more emphasis on the paid searches.
Well, that's why it's in trouble, because the organic goes down.
Mm-hmm. It's still important.
This is the beginning of the new cycle, of the end of this cycle, meaning that, you know, I wonder if Zuckerberg was smart enough, and I know I've heard how smart he is, right? Was he smart enough that 7 years ago or 10 years ago when he created Facebook business pages, that he said, I'm going to create this so that everybody who owns a business creates a business page, and I'm going to let people post on it, and I'm going to have it so that people in their news feed on their private life see it and get so much momentum that in 6 years I'm going to pull the carpet out from underneath mm-hmm. the businesses mm-hmm. and that's going to cause them to need to drive advertising
revenue.
So that personal can see it. I don't know if he was visionary enough to see that.
I'm sure that was part of the plan.
Maybe. It's hard for me to imagine that much patience for him to have to stretch it out over, to go public, to stretch it out over 6-7 years, and then basically say, guess what? Your business page is not going to be visible to pretty much anybody anymore unless they go to it or unless they click on it, I want to see first type stuff, which nobody does. I think it evolved into that, and I think it just happened. I can't believe that he would that he was stretched out for 6-7 years.
I think there's like a medium
maybe in the middle
in there somewhere. I don't think it was necessarily planned out from the beginning. I don't know.
Maybe a small increment.
But incrementally, it's like, wait a minute. Here is a phenomenal avenue of revenue that we literally have control over.
Sure.
Right? So if I want you to see this, right, or if you want this to be seen, give me money and mm-hmm. I will make sure it gets seen. So it was probably a kind of like a rolling, I don't know. I think it just developed over time.
Yeah, I don't
want
to believe
that. I wouldn't say it was like all of a sudden, you know, yesterday they said, oh, I have an idea. It was probably a few years back. It's probably, so when they go public?
10? 12?
No. Oh, in 10 or 12.
Yeah, 12. Yeah,
was it that long ago even?
I think it was like.
I just assume everything is double the amount of time that I think it is now. So I feel like it was 2 years ago, so it was probably like 6 years ago.
It was probably, no, you're probably right. So that's when you start being really accountable shares and money. And
trying to figure out how to monetize your business.
Right. 2012.
Right.
So
public
revenue sources. So that's probably when they said, wow, we're sitting on a freaking gold mine, really, if you think about it,
yeah.
with all the business pages. And we happily pay whatever we do if it gets us results. So.
Okay. I just don't want to believe that someone could be that much of a fucking patient visionary. Like, I understand that there are, but on that micro, to think I'm going to do a Facebook business page so that they're all there, and then 7 years or 6 years from now, I'm going to pull the carpet.
Well, the timeline might be something that he
didn't. As long as that's not the timeline.
You know,
if it's, I like Tony's plan.
It's probably,
like, gradually, they're like, oh, yes. Like, I hope maybe it's probably a little bit more intellectual than that,
yes.
than we're describing it, yes. but, like, I can't believe that he's like, okay, in 7 or 5 years, I'm pulling it out because, yes. So that lends to the organic stuff, which lends to the amount of different advertising that's so split up into Facebook and Instagram especially, that it's overwhelmingly beautiful. Because you can do so much niche advertising, very niche advertising.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there's a positive.
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, there is a positive. I just didn't want to believe that Zuckerberg had this conversation 7 years ago.
He might have.
Thanks for listening. This is Rockstar Podcast, episode 31.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're every Tuesday, and apparently some of Facebook Live. I think – so I wanted to go on Instagram Live, but then I realized that we don't have a Rockstar Podcast on Instagram, and I'm not creating one unless we get up to, like, a lot more listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Which we have about 120 listens.
Nice.
Or supposedly.
That's great.
Yes.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. And we'll.
Thank you for listening.
Also, I do the Bellcast on Fridays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m. on Facebook Live.
You sure about that?
Somewhere between 10 and 11.
Put it in the calendar, will you?
All right. Now I'm going to put it in the can. See you later. Bye, everybody.
Bye. He was looking at me like.
When I go quiet, but sometimes I do listen to what you guys say. I mean, I don't just go quiet because I'm recording you all the time. Oh, my God. We forgot about the training bra.
The training bra.
Oh, my God.
Super
the last podcast, we talked about the phones listening to us.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get any ads for training bras?
Oh, no. You know what? I did not.
So.
Did you?
No. I mean, not many more than I usually do.
Nothing out of the ordinary.
We talked about if the phone's like, listening to you and stuff like that. Okay. So I said, Mariano needs a training bra size A to B. And they said, I'm not going to post it anywhere. We just said it. Let's see if your phone records it. And now we want to see if the past week he got any ads for training bras. And he is checking now. Currently, no training bra ads.
No, I did not get any training bra ads.
You've heard the official statement. Thank you.